Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. And it's time for another edition of the National Black Community News Show. I want to thank my grandson, Isaiah, as he does every time we come on these airways, of introducing the show, letting people know who's on here and what we're doing. And with that in mind, hey, we want to thank the 47,000-plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on Blog Talk Radio, Home-Based Business 101, truly making this listener-supported radio. If you didn't listen, hey, we'd just be talking to the air. We want to thank those 47,000-plus listeners who have tuned into the show here, because that means that you must value our opinion and the things that we talk about. So we're going to dive right in today, and we start off, as we always do, with our reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success. And today's reading goes like this. June 3rd, you can't be serious. The secret of success is to start from scratch and keep on scratching. Dennis Green, NFL head coach. Reading for the day. Are you willing to work hard in order to succeed, to go all out? Are you willing to sacrifice certain pleasures because your time, energy must be devoted to your goal? If so, then you possess the key to success. Few extraordinary things ever get accomplished without commitment. Total commitment is not just hard work. It's total involvement. For example, building a brick wall, track-breaking work. There are some people who build brick walls all their lives, and when they die, they leave behind miles of walls, mute testimonials to how hard they labor. But there are others who build walls who place one brick on top of another, but they do so with a vision, a goal in mind. They visualize the end result, success. Yet many people fear all-out commitment to a person, a job, or a goal. The mental consciousness of the grass is greener is a major roadblock to commitment. It implies that you have the option of quitting when things get tough. But commitment is based on the belief that this is it. People who are always looking over there for something better will never make it over here. You will never move beyond the surface of a task into the heart of an opportunity if you run from one goal to another. Digging deep or becoming serious about that which you desire is the process that reveals the gems. It's often the last key on the ring that opens the door. Today I will step back and take a hard look at the things I am committed to. And that's so important in terms of this reading for the day about thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. That means you're looking elsewhere and not digging deep into the opportunity and the task that's before you and being able to make sure that you know how to manifest that opportunity. So, you know, today our show, we're going to talk about several different things. I believe Mr. Murphy has a couple guests that are coming on. Dr. Watisse, is that you on the line? Or is that Bill Gooden?
This is Bill Gooden.
Okay, Bill. All right. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for Dr. Watisse to join us, but while we wait for her to join us, we're going to go ahead and dive into today's show. And I just want to thank y'all for getting on today's show. And we got an event coming up this Saturday that the National Black Unity News is having. And I'll let Mr. Murphy go ahead and break that event down and share with people that event. But again, I want to just reemphasize the point that if Mr. Murphy had not been a person with vision and visualizing the end result, which is the publication of the newspaper, the National Black Unity News, and having that up and running and been up and running for over a year now, and but without the commitment to just move forward. And I know there's been some ups and downs and some different things, some challenges, and things that people have been through in relationship to the paper, but found a way to persevere and keep moving and keep moving and keep moving. And the end result is we have a successful paper, the National Black Unity News. And I just want to thank everybody that participates with that. I'm the national travel editor of that paper and appreciate the opportunity to share information about my travel business in that paper. And just excited. And so let's dive into tonight's show so that we can, you know, move forward and may not take up too much time in the introduction of the topic. Mr. Murphy, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, my brother. Yeah, first and foremost, I want to thank God for this valuable opportunity to speak not only to you, sir, to our guests, as well as the listening audience. You know, it's truly an opportunity to share information, special information that can enhance your quality of life. But before I bring on the guests, I want to share a little information about the National Black Unity News. The National Black Unity News is a publication. It's designed for us and it's designed by us. Our main purpose is to bring you solutions to your everyday problems. And, you know, this is a big world. We have all types of people involved in this world. There's all types of ups and downs and in and outs that take place in this world. But the National Black Unity News is designed to highlight Black, African, American, Indigenous people to enhance our quality of life so that we can do better for ourselves and for our future generations. So I encourage you, the National Black Unity News is unique. And its own format is unique in its entire concept. It's different from most newspapers. And the only way I can explain to you, you have to see it for yourself. And how you can do that is you can go to www.thenationalblackunitynews.com. Again, that's the www.thenationalblackunitynews.com. Or you can call 443-455-2373, and you can get a subscription. You can actually see the publication online for free. But if you want a subscription to the publication, go to our website, and you find information on the front page as to how to subscribe. And I guarantee you this, if you subscribe to this publication, I think it will make your life a little better, because we have professional people from all walks and all genres of life that bring information. These people are experts in their chosen fields, and they are committed to us as the people, and they're committed to you to like I said, to enhance your quality of life. And so I encourage you to go online, look at the publication, and for those who like to fill up a publication, we can have it sent to your office or your home. Now, not only do we produce publications, but we also, I have a partner, he's online now, and we also publish books. And we're going to talk about those books in a few. And but we have an event that's coming this Saturday, coming June the 8th, 2019. At a location in Baltimore, Maryland, at Nala's Kitchen, 5722 York Road. And it's from, I believe it's from
1 to 3,
yes. So I'm getting old, getting the memory brain. But in any case, from 1 to 3. And it's a $10 cover charge. And ladies and gentlemen, there will be light refreshments and food will be served. But most importantly, it's a fundraiser for a couple of powerful organizations in the Baltimore area. One is called God Giving Hands. It's an organization that feed the homeless, help them with information that they can get shelter. They even provide clothing and everything else for them. You know, it's a powerful organization, and they really out there on the front lines, and they're self-sufficient. I mean, they're self-supporting, but they need your help. They need your donations. They need hands. They need people to work on the front line. But because by the grace of God, I always say, there go I could be home. Anything that could happen to us. Right now, because of natural disasters going all over this country, fires and everything else, people find themselves homeless. It don't have to be those who are downtrodden or just have bad luck. It can have to everybody. And so by supporting these type of groups, you know, you're stripping these type of organizations because one day you just might need them. And so I encourage you to support God-Given Hand. And there's another organization that we're supporting through this event. It's called the Black Wolf Youth Organization, Youth Scouting. And a young man that's he's young himself in his early 20s that has a youth organization. It's unique from most scouting programs that, from my perspective, is Afrocentric. And they're teaching young men and women to be better people and also by enriching them in their own culture. And so I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to support this. You know, the tickets are very limited. So if you need a ticket to this event on June the 8th from 1 to 3, call 443-455-2373. And I'm quite sure you'll be glad you did. And one of the major functions of this event is we are highlighting the authors in our publication. We have several authors, about 9 or 10 authors, that has penned quite a few books. Some of them wrote 4, 5, 6, 7 books. Some of them have. And they have a unique twist. Each book is, you know, of course, are different. And the authors have some powerful message that they want to share with you. And they will give you a little insight view of why they wrote these type of books. And then we also will be highlighting the editors of the publication. All the people that write those wonderful articles, bring us powerful information, you get to meet them as well. They get to share 3 minutes with you about who they are and what they do. Like Brother Satan, like he said, he's a travel agent. They can tell you about, you know, some do's and don'ts in the travel business. They can save you money at the same time, help make you some money as well. So it's a lot of powerful information that's going to take place that day, and it's going to be held at a black-owned restaurant. Beautiful facility. So we encourage you to come out, good food, good people, and I'm quite sure you're going to have a good time. And since we're talking about these authors and editors of the National Black Unity News that will be highlighting this event, I have a couple of guests online who they play double roles. They are authors, they are editors, and not only that, they are staff members of the National Black Unity News. And I don't know if Dr. YT's online yet, Brother Satari, but just keep looking out for
no,
me.
No, she's not on yet.
Okay, just chime in when
she's not on yet.
We do have... Okay, but we do have my brother, author, editor-in-chief, Mr. Bill Gooden is online with us today. And Bill and I run a company outside of the National Black Unity News called Bill Gooden's Publishing Company. And my brother, he wrote several books. And we're going to talk about a little bit about those books. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the deeper things about those books. And this is an insight of what's going to take place at this upcoming event. And because we're having such a good response, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you some insight of what's going to take place at a future date. But while I have my brother here, without further ado, I want to bring my brother in so we can just have a dialogue about the books that he's written. And we're going to dive into some of the stuff that's inside, you know, because several books, we're going to try to get into a little bit of all of them. And so, Brother Bill Gooden, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here. And, you know, first let me just say hello to both you brothers and thank you. You know, Dave, as always, you know, once you get to talking, you be laying out a whole lot of information. But I would just like to throw this in and as you was talking about different things, the National Black Unity News, so far in our almost 2 years, I mean, you know, we have been fortunate enough that normally when we do an event, it is normally always at a black-owned facility because that's one of the things that we try to push, encourage people to support one another. So, you know, I just want to throw that in also.
Okay, fantastic. Okay.
And you know, Dave, just talking about the other things, you know, of course, hopefully Dr. YT will be calling in a minute. But, you know, that's another thing, Dave. You know, I always say, you know, you kind of on the humble side, but it's a lot of people out there that desire to write. You know, they always say that all of us have at least one book in us. And there's a lot of people that desire to write books out there and just don't have some of what they need. And that's one of the things that I guess that we are trying to help people to do. You know, if they got their book, if they're writing it and they just need to try to get to that next process, then we're trying to be an arm and a hand to help them to get to the next process to actually get their book up off the ground. So I just wanted to make sure I said that also. And then,
okay.
Right, go ahead, Dave.
No, you go ahead and finish because I'm just going to add a little bit on that.
Okay.
Like I say, we all bring something to the table. And my brother was mentioning to your audience that, like I said, if you have a book in mind and you are writing a book and you don't know what the necessary steps are to bring that book to completion, you know, getting it laid out and designed and getting it to the printer, you know, so that you can actually have a finished product in your hand. And once you get the product in your hand, how do you get the book out there to the media, to the masses? How do you market your book? So my brother Bill Gooden and I can assist you with that with the Bill Gooden Publishing Company. And so if you have a book, you can give any one of us a call. You can call me at 443-455-2373, and my brother Bill will get out his information if you want to.
Right, 410-746-3607. So,
okay,
you know,
go ahead, Bill. Let me say this before we get started, because I want to get right in there, because time really runs quickly on here. And so, you know, while we waiting on Dr. White, if she shows up or not, she did say she had to make a run. She'll get back to us. But in any case, you have written several books. And I would like to, you know, starting with the initial books, and because they kind of run in concession, so to speak, except for a couple of them. But they kind of in concession. That's the way I see it. And if you would like to, you can start, you know, I would like you to share a little bit of information about all the books and, you know, the purpose of the books and everything, but I prefer you start with the beginning, you know, the first book, which is titled Cold Bitch.
Well, you know, let me just say this here, Dave. Let me just back up 1 minute before I get into that, because, you know, you did talk about the event coming up, so, I mean, you know, I just want to chime in and encourage people to please come out to the event. Because, I mean, you know, that way, like I said, they can meet several different authors, man. And, you know, I guess I'm one of them people, man, it's still nothing like having a newspaper in your hand or a book in your hand. I don't care about the modern time period we're in where people could go on social media and they could go and read a book or, you know, they could read a newspaper. But, you know, it's something special about being able to fold that paper up and put it in your back pocket and carry it in your arm and read it while you're sitting on the bus or hand it to somebody else once you get through. So, you know, I just want to encourage people just like you, hey, you know, to come on out this Saturday from 1 to 3 at Nyla's Kitchen, 5722 York Road. And you know, my promise is that you will not be disappointed in no kind of way. But in reference to the book, of course, David, you know what I mean? You was there pretty much at the very beginning. The first book was Cold Bitch, you know, and basically it was in reference to, I guess I could use myself as, you know, because my wife had died and I ended up getting into a relationship that just didn't really go that good. And so I guess that, you know, through grieving for my wife and just going through a lot of emotional type things, then I started to write. And when I was writing it, to be honest, David, you know, I was really just writing because I liked to write, and I was trying to write some of my pain and some of my suffering away because, you know, when you're paining and when you're hurting, you have to find a way to deal with it one way or another. I don't care if it's through drinking, through drugs, or, you know, just going out in the street and just being out there. And so for me, then I was pulled to the computer. And so as I started to write and, you know, my words start to come together, even though it was just to be writing, but I actually wrote more than what I had anticipated. And so, you know, after several days of writing, I said, well, wow, I'm writing a story, you know, and the story is basically relating to a whole bunch of stuff that's happened in my personal life, you know, and So, you know, that's how, so maybe after a week or so, and I continue to write, I'm up to like 100 some pages, and I said, wow, you know, so I needed to have a name for the story. And the name of the story became Cold Bitch because it was in reference to a relationship of an elderly man and an elderly woman. And the man just felt that the woman was cold to him, and it wasn't in terms of calling her a bitch or to degrade women in terms of using such an ugly word, but the word bitch was basically to be used as a marketing tool in terms of trying to help to promote the book, and at the same time trying to use the word to describe some anger and some feelings, but it wasn't directly to insult anybody. So, you know, that's how that book came about. And then, like you say, and then, I mean, you know, of course, you know, I was real happy and elated, you know what I mean? Damn, man, you know, I finally wrote a novel the first time in my life, you know what I mean? I'm 60-some years old, been writing most of my life, and ain't never been able to write a novel. Now I got a novel, you know, so I'm happy, you know, and David, you helped put the cover together and put it in process. So I'm thinking that, you know, I'm elated, man. I mean, you know, but then I'm still going through it, you know, and something is still pushing me to write. So I continue to write. So I end up writing, and again, I'm writing. So, you know, I come out with part two of Cold Bitch. So now I got part one and part two. You know, of course, when that came out, I mean, things happened so fast that it's still unbelievable, and I'm still in shock months later. But then, so, I mean, end up finishing that book. And then, you know, end up doing, like I said, another book, which was not Cold Bitch, but it was a book called Blues Bleeding Heart, where Blue was the main character in Cold Bitch. And so it was in reference to Cold Bitch, but it was a different kind of book. And then, you know, we did the book From the Rubble of the Ashes. You know, God picked us, and we're just the journey of David and myself in terms of what got us to this here point and how we produced the newspaper and reproduced six books. So it's been an interesting ride. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it has been. And I want to highlight something. You know, what I can say, you kind of highlighted the books on the Cold Bitch, but this one of my all the books are great, but this is one of my intriguing ones. The one you just mentioned, called Blues Bleeding Heart. And I find this book so unique is because it's come from a perspective of someone from the outside looking in. And when most people read books, you know, the imagination takes place and it takes you on a journey. But this Blues Bleeding Heart takes you on such a journey. It asks a lot of questions and it's a lot of answers to the cold, you know, from the series of the Cold Bitch, though. But it highlights, it got so many tentacles to this book. It talks about seniors, senior citizens being in love. It talks about men and women issues. It talks about we as a people. It talks about so many different things that need to be talked about. We need to have a dialogue on this because, you know, oftentimes Bill and I, we discuss a lot of deep subjects sometimes, especially when it comes to men. And I tell people often, and most of us who are men out here, especially black men, you know, we was raised up with this type of attitude that we don't pull to share our feelings. We don't pull to let people know we are hurting. We supposed to man up even though we are hurting. We don't pull to cry. We don't pull to do a whole lot of things. But yet we go through those things, and we had to suppress those feelings. And so this was it dwells deep inside of a lot of those issues. So, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to get all the books. But as you continue to read the books that my brother penned, it's fascinating. And then I want to take you to, you know, I want to go into a little further. My brother also wrote another book. It's called In Yeti's Words. Bro, you want a little ad-lib on this one?
Well, yeah, the only difference is, Dave, and thank you. You know, In Yeti's Words, of course, you know, I did lose my wife, and which was May 27th of 2018. And, you know, Dave, we was doing so much in terms of creating books and actually publishing books, then even though my wife is in all the stories in some respects, but it wasn't nothing just that was exclusively of her. So, you know, she did have some journals in the house, and so, I thought it would just be real appropriate in terms of a way to pay homage and a tribute to my wife was to take some of her words that she had read, and kind of put them together. So, you know, in Yeti's words, is truly, as it says, is in Yeti's words. I mean, you know, it's submitted by me, but I didn't write them words. And it's a whole lot of good stuff in there, man. You know, lots of good quotes. I mean, you know, lots of her struggles that she went through in terms of as a mother, you know, having only one son and, you know, son end up with some, unfortunately, some mental issues. And, you know, as a mother, and she hasn't even seen her son in the last 8-9 years, man. That was something that was grieving and constant on her heart and on her soul, in which she never talked to people about it. But it was something that she carried as a woman, and it hurt her badly. And, you know, then, I mean, she talked about her cancer struggle, you know. So, you know, it was an opportunity because I'm a firm believer in this, Dave. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you doubt yourself, but, you know, in the end, then you have to go where you think that God wants you to do. And I'm a firm believer in this, you know, no matter what Satari's struggle is, no matter what David's struggle is, no matter what Bill Gunn's struggle is, it's millions of people go through exactly what we go through. So sometimes when you're telling your own story, then you're helping somebody else to get through their story by how you got through your own struggles. And so that's what Yeti's words is all about. And, you know, so again, you know, it's one of the books that I encourage people to please get. I mean, you know, it's a fascinating a book. And, you know, so many people, man, she done so much. She worked in the educational system for 36 years. She was a principal the last 17 years of her life. And a lot of her close friends had no idea in terms of what she really carried in terms of a burden and as a mom as she went through life every day. So that's what that book is about.
Okay. Now, I'm going to see most of these books, as you were listening to my brother speak about it, they were talking about emotions, you know, going through transitions and things like this. But a lot of people, we haven't talked about this, even though in the introduction of Mr. Bill Gooden, you know, we all, like I said, he mentioned his age. He said he's in the 60s, late 60s. And, but the brother's been around for a long time, put it that way, and he's been in the struggle for a long time. And I like to call him a soldier, as well as Brother Satari, because they've been on the front line fighting our battle for many, many years, decades out there on the front lines. And this brother's a true soldier. So, you know, even though you may have seen him, those who know him, seen him out there on the front lines fighting up, standing up for our people, and everything, but this brother, like I said, he's been around doing this thing for many years, and some, most people say he look at him, he's a tired stripper. But then again, he is that. But at the same time, we are humans. We hurt. We have emotions, and we care about this. And some things take us through certain types of emotion. But my brother also wrote a powerful summary of some of the writings he had done in the past, and this one is called Collections of Writings from the Mind of Bill Gooden. Can you elaborate on that, brother, please?
Right, Dave. And like I said, from a collection of Bill Gooden, is, you know, I always tell people, you know, in 1977, I wrote a piece and sent in to a magazine. I can't remember the name of the magazine. But anyway, it was called A Letter to God. And I got... They gave me $15, man. I feel that I was on my way. Man, I was so happy, you know, to somebody, you know, 1977. Then, you know, I got paid for some of my writing. So you know how I felt then, right? And so, anyway, I just said that to say that. So I got writings from as far back as the early 70s, you know, short stories. A lot of poetry, because at that time, man, you know, I mean, I guess that yourself as well as Brother Satari, I mean, even though I didn't know you in the 70s, but, you know, I guess all of us kind of went through different phases of our life, and at that time, I was a lot more militant than I am now, and I guess, you know, I mean, as you get older, you know, you kind of you kind of sum out with life. You know, you can still be militant, but your militancy become another kind of way in terms that you're not how you was 30 or 40 years ago. So these are writings that I wrote 30, 40 years ago, which would give the reader an opportunity to see the way I was thinking then opposed to the way that I'm thinking now. And that's what that book was about.
Okay. But in any case, we're at the top of the hour right now, so we're going to take what we call a station break and talk about some of the news that we're doing. And again, my name is David Murphy, and I publish a newspaper called The National Black Unity News. And again, you can get this publication through www.thenationalblackunitynews.com, or you can call 443-455-2373. And of course, as we were just talking about earlier, we have an event on June the 8th at Nala's Kitchen from 1 to 3 p.m. The tickets are $10. We will have the brother at Nala's. As a matter of fact, it's a fantastic food and refreshment. But the point is that this is a fundraiser. We are raising funds for two great organizations that need support. But most important, we are highlighting the authors and the editors of the National Black Unity News. You can come out and meet the editors. You can come out there and talk to the authors, get your books autographed, and purchase some great reading material. And so I encourage everybody, while there may be a few tickets left, but you need to call in as soon as possible to attend this event. And so and I'll have an announcement as we get at the end of the show about an upcoming event as well. But first things first, and so brother, back to Tavi, back to you, because I know you have some information you'd like to share as well.
Yes, yes, I do, David. And thank you, Bill, for sharing information you shared. And,
yes, sir.
After I finish with my piece, I believe Dr. Watties has joined us on the line, so we'll go to her. And I want to, you know, sort of piggyback on a book that she has coming out, or she doesn't already have it out, about the life of B. Getty. And, you know, I always remember when I first met one of B. Getty's followers, when B. Getty's followers said that B could take a penny and make it seem like $1 million. I said, wow. I said, that had to be a powerful, powerful vision. But anyway, what I want to talk about briefly is what's called the ultimate fundraiser. And what is the ultimate fundraiser? The ultimate fundraiser is one of the greatest transfers of wealth that is taking place right now in our time. What is that transfer of wealth? It is the transfer of wealth from the $8.1 trillion travel industry. Yes, travel is an $8.1 trillion industry. And we have a program that allows faith-based organizations, nonprofits, and even businesses to participate in that transfer of wealth. And what that program is called, it's called the Vortex. You might say, well, what is the Vortex? The Vortex is a program that an organization purchases, and when they purchase that program, it allows them to tap into the market share of travel that their supporters and followers are booking online. And they say, well, how does that work, Baba Jahi? How that works is like this. So you got X amount of followers, and all you got to do is a quick survey with them. How many of y'all book with Expedia and Priceline? And they're going to raise their hands. And when they raise their hands, say, well, how would you like it if we, when we say we, we're talking about the specific organization or the faith-based organization or the nonprofit, have a travel website that allows you to be able to book the exact same hotel, the exact same resort, same beach on the same sand on the beach, all of that, all of those same things, and you guaranteed to save 85 to 90% of the time when you book that travel. It's called market share displacement. And because right now your followers or booking their travel with Expedia and Priceline, and you might say, well, what about they book with Kayak?
Hotels.com. But Priceline and Expedia, they own all of those other online travel agencies. And what we do is we allow you to create an account where you're able to save your followers and supporters. And when you do, you know, it's a tremendous transfer of wealth, because it allows your organization to, whatever the people save on their travel, if they save $50, if they save $100, if they save $500, it allows that to come, that money to come back to your organization in the form of a donation. And so, you know, the thing is this, that it's a thing right now going on where people might say, well, I've never heard of the Voitex. Well, hey, you never heard of, as I shared with a lady coming back on the train from Rocky Mountain. I said, you know, and she caught on. I said, it was a time you never heard of a cell phone. And it was a time when people say, cell phones, hey, how are they going to do that? I mean, and the cell phones, you know, when they first came out, they were huge, they were big phones, these big Motorola phones that they had and all of that. And then ultimately, they came up with a way to put them where they fit right in your hand. And I can't think of anybody right now, except for, well, some people, who do not have a cell phone, whether it's a cell phone that comes to the free cell phone or comes to insurance, and they even have a free cell phone that gives you a free smart cell phone, a smartphone called Q Wireless. So technology has really advanced to the point that you can own a cell phone today without a bill. A lot of people probably say, well, how is that possible? It's because of technology. And it allows you to be able to do the things that you want to be able to do. But the bottom line is that we want to make sure that people know how to go about getting a Voitex booking engine through the use of the Ultimate Fundraiser. And if you call me at 252-458-3712, I can be able to share with you how you can get your own proprietary link, where when your supporters and followers book their travel off of that link, which is like car rentals, hotel stays, or airplane tickets, the whole nine yards, the whole shebang, as they would say, in terms of the world of travel, because we got to remember, travel is an $8.1 trillion industry. And so, you know, we really, really want people to learn how to participate in this Ultimate Fundraiser, because we have in Atlanta, we have churches that are using this fundraising technique, and they've raising $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 at a time. And, you know, and so, you know, the thing is making sure that people understand how to go about using this tool, because that's basically what it is. It's a tool that will enable you to do the type of things that, hey, that just will help you transfer wealth, tapping into the $8.1 trillion travel industry. Keep those figures in mind, $8.1 trillion. That's how much is spent in travel globally. And so this is a platform that can be used all over the world. And we just want to make sure that people know about it. Again, give me a call at 252-458-3712, and I can be able to share with you how you can participate in the Ultimate Fundraiser. And so with that in mind, hey, we want to go back to you, David, and then Dr. Watis, you on the line? Who's
473-7912? That must be Dr.
Watis. Okay. She must be on mute then, so.
No, that's me, Vernon.
Hey,
Vernon. Hey,
uh-oh.
Vernon.
Hey.
Okay. All right.
Vernon, it's Vernon Streeter, right?
Yep.
Okay, how you doing?
Sorry.
And we were just speaking about the upcoming event, and Vernon Streeter is the event coordinator of this upcoming event. And Vern, if you want to introduce yourself and let people know what's taking place on the 8th.
Okay. My name is Vernon Streeter, and I am, like Mr. Murphy said, we're planning an event. It's coming up with the newspaper. I do events. And, you know, we're playing an event at, like Mr. Murphy said, at Nala's.
Yep, and like I said, we are encouraging people to come out because, like I say, it's going to be a well-rounded event because information is power if you use it properly. And we're going to have a lot of people disseminating a lot of information about the newspaper, about the individual fields, and most importantly, one of our major features is to highlight the authors of the publication. So they have, I'm just giving you a drop a few names on everybody. We have a Fran Allen. I think she wrote about 4 books. We have another one of our editors and authors is Donetta Mooring, and she wrote a book on about the importance of sleep. And people don't realize this, but you know, sleep has such a long-lasting effect on our well-being, even life and death. You know, it's a powerful thing. You know, we need to really check that out. And then we have another one of our authors that will be featured at Dr. Charles Pender from out of Virginia. And he'll be there, and he speaks on a lot of faith-based information, but from a different perspective. And then we also have Dr. Dallas Dance. He was the former CEO of the Baltimore County School System. He wrote a book, and he has a lot of information on education and training and information like that. And I believe we have Stephanie Poplin, who may be there. I'm not 100% sure at this point. But like I said, then we have Dr. Barbara Wattis, who we're hoping that will come on, who wrote a book.
I thought she just came in. I heard a noise back there, like somebody was coming in.
Dr. Wattis, are you there? Okay, I hope she come in, you know. But in any case, she wrote the book on, it's called Color Me Hungry. It's about the hungry, homeless, and the hurting, the bitter taste. And it's like a biography of B. Gaddy. And for those of you know who's in the Baltimore area, she's a legend for helping the homeless. And she's done so many wonderful things. She used to put on such major events, especially around the Thanksgiving holiday. But she, you know, that was one of her major functions. But all throughout the year, she had galvanized people together, you know, brought all types of people together to help others, to help themselves. And so it's a powerful book, and, you know, and Dr. Wattis will be there explaining some of the attributes of of B. Gaddy. And also we have yours truly, Bill Gooden, who will be discussing, as you heard earlier, several of his books. And he's an advocate and an author, and so it's going to be a host of people there with a host of information. And I strongly suggest that you come on out and meet these people because, like I say, it's a wealth of information that will take place at this upcoming event. And Speaking of events, you want to say something, Vern?
No, not really. I'm just listening in.
Okay.
Like Mr. Murphy said, the event is going to be June the 8th, starting at 1. It's from 1 to 3 at Nala's. And it's a fundraiser for the Wolves Youth Program and God's Giving Hands.
That's right. And like I say, the tickets are only $10. And we would have food and refreshment as well. So that's a lot for $10. You know, you get to meet the authors. You get to network with other people. You get your books autographed. And like I said, there'll be a lot of other things that we'll be sharing at this event. And so, you know, because this event is going to make an impact. See, we the type of people, we are very progressive in the way we do things. And so after this event, we're also planning on I believe it's August the 10th. We're going to give it another author. We're going to give it a major event where we're expecting a much larger crowd and quite a few more authors because we highlighting the authors of the National Black Unity News, but then since we put out this information, all types of authors are popping up and they want to participate with us. And so we're going to have an event on August the 10th, and at the end of the show, I'll share a little bit more information about that, but you can still contact us. The National Black Unity News will be the host of that event as well. So you can still reach out to me and Vernon Streeter, Bill Gooden, or David Murphy, and we can get you information about that. But first thing first, step one, before you get to step two, is to come out on the June 8th, because like I said, it's going to be a powerful event. Now, gentlemen, since we're all on the air right now, we have Brother Satavi Jahi, Vernon Streeter, Bill Gooden, hope they have Dr. Ortiz in there. But since we're talking about information, and I'm not trying to get away from, the event and everything, but, this everything I'm trying to bring up to is all interrelated. And I just want to have a little open discussion on the fact of about information or even the lack of information that's being happening to us. Now, when I say us, my major focus is this. I don't put that in any group of race or people, but I'm really concerned about my own people. And that don't mean I'm against you because I'm for something. That don't mean I'm against you for something else. But there's in this country, we call it the United States, there's a lot of unfair treatment that takes place in this country. We're going to keep it real. And that's why we at the National Black Unity News host events like this because we want to share information. Information that can save your life. Information that can enhance your life. And so with that being said, I'm going to just lead off with this. I always say this when I'm on this way because I want to keep on reminding you of this. We, as African Americans here in the United States of America, we own less than 1% of the media. Less than 1%. That's a very small voice, at least it's a voice. And the National Black Unity News is shouting from the mountaintop that, we are invoking change. We are making changes in life. But we need many more voices. That's why we put on events like the upcoming event and the future event that we're going to do because we have some powerful voices, but they, oftentimes they are not being heard as loud as we want them to be heard. So that's why we highlight these type of events. And so when I'm talking about information, general, everybody can jump in when you can get in. When I talk about information, because we have lack of information, gentlemen, since there's only number of gentlemen on this call right now, is this.
I think Dr. Watkins has joined us.
I have. I'm on here.
Okay, great. Because I'm going to go off on something else for a minute. But no, because we're still talking about information, and we were talking about the upcoming event on June the 8th. And I want to introduce you first. Dr. Ortiz, I've known Dr. Ortiz for many years now, and she's always been an advocate for education and many other causes. She is the editor for the National Black Unity News. She's the one that dots our I's and cross our T's for, and we greatly appreciate her for that. But also, recently, I didn't know sometimes, that's why I say lack of information sometimes, from this guy. As long as I've known Dr. Ortiz, as long as I know and knew of B. Gaddy, I never associated them two together. And until we had a conversation one day. And Dr. Ortiz, I'll let you tell the story, but she said they were very close friends. And so with that being said, I just mentioned your book earlier. So Dr. Ortiz, without further ado, I want to introduce to our publisher, our editor of the National Black Unity, and also the author of Color Me Hungry, Homeless, Hurting, The Bitter Taste, B. Gaddy, by Dr. Barbara J. Ortiz.
Hey, thank you. I thought I wasn't going to be able to make it. I was really rushing to get back here. I said, oh, my goodness, I think I've blown it. But anyway, the way I met B and I met in college. That's where we met. And we formed a bonding relationship. And we just became sister friends. And over the years, I just minced and just thrived on everything that she did. And I began to document everything that she did. And sometimes we would just have general conversations. And through those general conversations, it all became a book. And that's what I just finished doing. It took me 100 years to do it. But I thank God I was able to do it.
Amen.
Let me tell you a little bit about the book. This book takes you on a journey of one woman's mission to feed and shelter. And it takes you back to her early childhood, where she was raised by a dastardly stepfather who was so cruel. He didn't even respect and honor God. You know, he just didn't. And her mother was just the opposite. She was just very submissive. But B learned how to forgive and forget all of that. And in spite of, she just came on through. And then it tells you about all of her loves and her fears and her faults and her failures and how she overcame all of those pitfalls. And then it goes on to tell you about how, because of those pitfalls, she wanted to see and show others how to get through and work through all those kind of things. And that's how she became the woman she became, you know, the Bee Gaddy, the advocate person, the person who wanted to do so much for everybody, you know. And this book right here, this book is a format. When Bee was not able to speak for herself, this book right here is the one that will still speak for her. It will tell you everything that you need to know about homelessness and hunger and how to live with it and how to live without it. It teaches you all of that. This book is going to be serve as a resource guide for anybody who's just embarking upon that journey of feeding the hungry. That's what this book is all about.
That's powerful, powerful, powerful. And for those of y'all, you know, I know this is just radio show, the National Black Unity News is based in the Baltimore, Maryland area. And those of you who are listeners across the country, Dr. White Peace, could you explain who Bee Gaddy was in the Baltimore area?
Bee Gaddy was a powerful source. She was an advocate for the homeless and the hungry, and she fed people from Baltimore to Washington to New Jersey to North Carolina, and I think she even sent some packages overseas. And she did it. She started it with, believe it or not, she started with $250 when she hit the lottery one time. And that's what started the whole Bee Gaddy process. From that, she went on to become Baltimore's popular person to feed and shelter. And she did so much until she forgot herself. And that's the reason why she's not with us today, because she gave so much of herself that she forgot to take care of Bee. That's how much she gave for herself.
I do know, you know, when you know, those of us who've been, you know, in the Baltimore for some time now, and Bee, you know, she went on into politics and everything, you know, and I do know, especially around the Thanksgiving time, when Bee Gaddy called, they had all types of dignitaries, business people, lay people. She gathered so many troops together to feed the homeless. I mean, it was such an amazing feat. But one woman, one vision, one dream could bring all of those people together, you know, because of consistency.
Thousands of people.
Well, yes, you know. And so it's amazing. She set the bar so high. Now, some call her, from my perspective, I call her the Mother Teresa of Baltimore.
That's what she was.
You know, and people. And she was able to get resources from all over the country, all types of people that donated, because people like to put their money where their heart is at and when they know it's going to go to a good cause. And so, you know, go ahead, Dr. White.
The prisoners in Baltimore, down at the city jail, used to help cook dinners and everything for the Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the prisoners, they cooked.
And I have a personal interest in this because one of my nieces is in the book, and she was going through a rough time, and she, you know, B wasn't just talking about being home. She helped people when they was hurting, and my niece had ended up with a drug problem, and she had no place to go. She and someone recommended B Gaddy to her. She went to her. And you could just share a little bit about that story because I think that's so powerful, Dr. Bob.
Let me just say one thing, too, if I can, real quick. When you get a chance, Doc, also just talk about, because B. Gaddy's programs are still going on through her daughter. So, I mean, you know, even though B. Gaddy's not here, then people are still carrying out the mission. So I just wanted to make sure you touched on that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for interjecting that because there's so much to tell them that you just can't tell it all. Thank you all for helping me out.
But you know what amazing is, just like Bill told his story. Can you tell me how you come to write this story, Dr. Watkins?
Oh my God. Dee and I used to sit and talk for hours and hours on hours. And every time she would talk, she didn't even know that I was documenting everything. And then one day she said, "You know one thing? You need to write this book." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that for you." And I prolonged and prolonged and prolonged, but I still kept documenting everything that she would be telling me. And then one day we just sat down, and I read back some of the things, and she was saying, "Oh, my goodness, I didn't know that I was doing this much. I didn't know I was doing this." And I said, "B, this is you. This is all you." She said, "Oh, no. I just can't see myself this way." I said, "B, everything that's here is you." She didn't even see herself as she was. I mean, that's just how honored she was to be doing the kind of things that she was doing. She was humble. She didn't care. She didn't care about notoriety or being known for what she did that way. She wanted to be known for being the servant of the people, and that's what she was.
And I congratulate you, Dr. Watkins, because you told me personally that, you know, you had this on the shelf for a bit, you know, and it was always constantly bothering you because, you know, you had to get it out there, you know. And so as a reminder to the listening audience, I'm not telling anybody age or anything. Like I said, Bill just mentioned his age, though, but he said it's never too late to fulfill a mission. If you still got breath in your body, there is still hope. So I encourage you, you know, if that thing is bothering you and you know it's something that you need to do, that you want to do, but you don't see any way, all you got to do is take the first step, and God will make a way.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
You'd be surprised at who will come into your life if you are consistent and you committed to what you're doing. Sometimes, like I say, it's an amazing journey because it's amazing. I know we don't have much time left, but before we go,
I'm going to extend the show for another half an hour, all right?
Okay. All right. Okay, all right. With that being said, then.
Keep rolling.
Okay, with that being said, I'm going to spend a little bit more on the vision because I got Bill Gooden on the line and Dr. Watkins, and I know both of these people personally. And from my perspective, I don't know if they know it, but for me, for sitting where I sit at, ladies and gentlemen, is this. As they were sharing their vision with me, and they were putting in the work and everything like that, and to see at their ages now, I ain't saying how old they are, but at their ages, they still always put the army, ever since I know them, they're always putting in work. That's why they can hardly get a lot of things done, because they're always doing this and always doing that. And they're not the type of people just sitting down doing nothing. They constantly work. They put, like the young people say, they put in work. And then to still take time to put these books together and bring them to fruition. And for me, the way I'm sitting at, it's miraculous at all the other things that they've done in life, and they still had time to do this as well about somebody else, because they both want to share. Bill Gooden's book's about sharing information with people who are going through some difficult times in relationships, about senior love, they need to have a dialogue about this. Dr. YT, she's sharing information about an icon in our community who put in so much work to share so many great things with so many people who have benefited from her and still benefiting from her. And so, you know, to me, and sitting where I sit, it's just a miraculous thing to see people like Dr. Barbara YT and Brother Bill Gooden still putting in work and producing these books, because they're leaving legacies so that our future generations can see that all things are possible if you believe and if you put in the work. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this. I'm going to open up the door for just a general conversation now. Again, we're having this event on June the 8th, and I encourage you, because there's a lot of more information out there. You need to meet Dr. Watson. You need to meet the Bill Good. You need to meet the other authors in the National Black Unity News that will be sharing information on June the 8th. And with that being said, if anybody wants to share some other information or more details about your books or services, now is the time. We got some extended time, so let's take advantage of it.
Well, I'm gonna just say one thing, because you know Doc was getting ready to mention in terms of, you know, BGAI's program still going on. So I mean, I certainly want her to have time to mention that, and as well as what you asked her. But I'm going to just say this, Dave, because you keep talking about information. You know, I always say, you know, the good thing about information, man, information is what shaped the opinions of what we carry on. You know, people look at TV, you know, people listen to radio, you know, people do a lot of different things to get information. So, you know, I mean, when you're talking about the National Black Unity News, when you're talking about Calling Me Hungry and the Big Guy story, when you talk about my stories, then, I mean, this is information that we can help to reshape the opinions of our people, man, because, I mean, basically, that's what we want. You know, if we could change the way that people think, then we could ultimately change the way that people live and the way that people treat one another.
Yeah, that's powerful, brother, powerful. And even on top of that,
Oh, I was just going
to
say, Cynthia is now has taken over the BGAI Center. And let me tell you, this young lady is doing a dynamic job. It was she and her sister at first, but then her sister passed suddenly. And so now it's all on Cynthia. And she's really doing a phenomenal job down there. I applaud her, because as she said to me, she said, Auntie, there's no way you would ever thought that I'd be the one to take over, and I agree. But she is doing a phenomenal job. I know B is smiling down on her right now for this child taking over and just taking up the slack. And I'm so proud of her. I just wanted to say that. Thank you, Bill, for reminding me of that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You want to say something else, Doc?
No, go ahead.
Okay, but you know, like I said, it's you know, the old saying is the harvest is great out there, and it's good that, like Bill was saying, you know, that we have information, because information can change our way of living, our way of thinking. It can mold us into be better people, and because I always speak about media, because that's my forte, media, you know, propaganda is a powerful tool. And people use all types of weapons against us. You know, they put us in the news, bend us over, you know, locking us up and showing negative things about us all the time. And when you do that to people's mindsets, you know, it, like you say, Bill just said, you know, it changed the way we think. And that's why sometimes we act the way we do. That's why it's so important to pick up books like Color Me Hungry. That's why it's so important to pick up the books that Bill had written, because these are the type of things that can reshape your mind, renew your thinking. And that's why I'm encouraging you to please come out to this event, because, like I say, you never know who you meet. You get to network with the authors and the editors and the staff and other people that will be there. And it's not all the time what you know. Sometimes it's who you know. And so it's a lot of information that's going to take place on the 8th. And if you need tickets, you can call 443-455-2373. And with that being said, I have a lot of more information. Now, me and Bill, we were discussing something earlier, Dr. Watis, and I think I mentioned to you on the phone about another event that we're going to host after this event. that will be held at Langston Hughes. Said another brother who's putting in a lot of work, and there're gonna be quite a few authors at this event. So when you come out there, you can get your tickets at on the June 8th ticket for the next event. And those of you who are authors and you have some powerful information you want to share with our people, then you need to get in touch with Bill Gooden or myself, and we can share information, because it's best to be at these events, because if you are an author, we only going to have limited vending tables, because right now, the way things are going, there ain't going to be that much space left. So if you're interested, you need to call us as soon as possible for the August the 10th, I believe, is the event date.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to do that as well, and you, like I said, and it will be posted on the website, I believe, by tomorrow, because I'll be working on the website tonight and talk about the August the 10th event. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, again, I just want to thank Dr. Ortiz. I want to thank Bernard Streeter for calling in. The show is not over with. And I want to thank Bill Gooden, because, like I said, they bring so much to the table, and they have put in work for so many years, and it's an honor and privilege, and as well as my brother, Satari Jahi, who has been putting in work for many years. So it's always a pleasure for me to be in the midst of these powerful people, because they say iron sharpens iron, and I'm getting sharpened up just by being around these folks, and like I said, watching these, I call them miracles, to watch them work, you know, so...
I'm going to say something.
Go ahead, brother Bill.
I'm going to just say something else, and then I'm going to encourage Doc to say something else, because she came on late, so I won't say as much as she's going to say. But, you know, Dave, I always say this, you know what I mean? Look, man, you know, you who you are, you're a humble guy in terms of who you are, but, I try to make it a point. Whenever I talk about my books, I have to make the point that I wouldn't have never done 6 books without you, David Murphy. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know what I mean? So in regards to the credit that you give me in terms of writing the book, then I just thank you so very much, man, in terms of all that you did to make this possibility become a reality. Because, I mean, without you, I couldn't have done what I done. So I just want to at least acknowledge that, because in my opinion, even though I wrote the book, you're just as important as I am in terms of these creations to actually come into existence. You know, so thank you so very much. And just getting back to information, I'm going to just say this, because when we talk about information, and people have to know the importance of information, when you're talking about propaganda, when you're talking about media, now even when we talk about rap music, man, when we talk about television, they got 500 channels now. You know what I mean? You know, these people that control things, man, some of this negative music and stuff they put out, do you think they care about making a few millionaires in order to hurt a million other people? You know what I'm saying? So they make somebody rich so they could degrade other people and make other people become vicious, man, in terms of just the things that they see and the things that they're constantly listening to. So, you know, in terms of the National Black Unity News, in terms of the books and stuff that we publish, then in our own little way, then we have to fight these giants off in terms of trying to provide our people with other information that they wouldn't get if it wouldn't be for us.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, my brother. And like I say, you keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate the accolades that you gave me, because, like I say, we all in this together. You know, that's why I say, even with the National Black Unity News, if it wasn't for people like yourself, I couldn't do the things that I do. So, you know, we all integrated into each other. And so that what makes teamwork, that what makes the dream work, as they say. And so, you know, God, like I said, that's why I say, you know, it's amazing when God, when you fulfill a mission in life, especially the mission that God gave you, and God always provides. So, you know, he provides for people around. Just like I said, I could never do the paper without you guys. So, you know, so like I say, fast change is no robbery, but, you know, we all in this together. And like I say, and I thank you, Brother Satari, for even providing this format for us, to even share information with our listening audience. And see, like, people don't know. Like I say, you know, we all got a history, man, but see, one thing where I sit at, I see, like I said, I've seen the works that most of the people, all of the people on this call right now, I've seen over the years the work that y'all put in. And so y'all dime as far as I'm concerned. But again, all of us are diamonds. I'm talking about everybody who listened to us, because God put a vision and a dream in each and every one of us. You know, but just that some people bring those dreams to fruition. And I'm just so pleased to be around these type folks. But Dr. Wattis,
Now I know
that we talked about your book, but share a little information about who you are.
Oh, my goodness. Me? Well, I'm a former educator. I taught elementary school for about 100 years, and and then I went on to work at Towson University and conduct writer workshops. And then for Johns Hopkins University, I mentored teachers new to the system. And I love writing, period. I love editing, period. I love being able to look at what people try to say and then try to help them and support them and journey them through the whole process. To me, that's my way of giving back to whomever, because God gave it to me. So my ability to share this is what I love doing. And I want to thank you all for helping me to do this, because without you all, I wouldn't have a format. So I thank you for that. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Okay, Brother Satawi.
Yes, sir.
Are you still there, sir?
Yes,
you
I am.
You laid the phone? Oh, okay.
Yes, I
okay.
am.
Well, look,
I'm still here.
Look,
still here.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying, I don't know, I'm expecting to say, you know, I know you say you extended the time, but, you know, on these type of ways, this is live, unrehearsed. We just dialogue with one another, and we have a lot of information that take place, you know, what we talk about on these airwaves. But I feel like that's why I'm kind of going with it. Since we were talking about B. Gaddy, and to me personally, B. Gaddy had the gift of giving, and she done it so well. And most of the people on this airways right now, I believe also have the gift of giving. And I just want to, you know, like I said, I know it's hard to ask people to say things about themselves, but this is not about us right now. I'm talking, this is for those who may be listening in right now. And I'm going to start with me, you know, when I'm talking about giving. And, you know, I consider myself a servant of servants, a network of networks. That's what I just pinned myself as, because that's what I love doing. And I think that's why God put me on earth, is to assist people, to, you know, help them so they can help themselves, and then we can help each other. And I believe, and I experienced it so many times in my life, there's no greater gift than the gift of giving, because you can't put a price on when you help someone or assist somebody who can better themselves. You know, sometimes even with words, we're talking about words and giving and all this, but words can save people's lives. You know, and it's a wonderful thing, because like I said, we never know when we say a kind word to somebody or write words that people will read one day. The influence, the effect that it has on each other. Now, Bill told me himself a long time ago while he was in school, and he said somebody gave him a gift, a book. But Bill, would you share that little story? Because the reason why I want you to share this, because I want the people to understand this powerful thing of giving and the spirit of B. Gaddy, what a teacher done for you.
Well, you know, real quickly, you know, because time is running out, but the gift was a book, and I was in the ninth grade, and I had an old German teacher named Miss Trinsky, and I was one of them people. Unfortunately, Dr. Wattis, I went to school never learning a doggone thing. I just went to school to because I had to, and to act up and just laid my head down, not paying attention to nothing that was trying to be taught. But I had this white teacher named Miss Trinsky, and she gave me a book called Black Boy by Richard Wright. And I read that book. And after I read that book, I mean, that book was me. You know what I mean? I seen me through what Richard Wright was writing. And that started me on my way. I still didn't learn nothing in school, but I started going to the library, getting as many black books as I could, reading black authors. And, you know, so when you say, David, that words can save your life, I believe that that lady saved my life through giving me a book.
Dr. Martis, on that same vein of giving, you know, when we started the newspaper, you gave your time to us. And you didn't, you know, and everything. And even you took time like the book that you just written. And, you know, it's a gift to society because to keep began the legacy going on. Like you said before, it's a roadmap for others who may want to follow in the footsteps. And like you said, cover some of this. So what is your thing about giving? You just mentioned a few things, but this, you know, like I said, because I'm kind of going where I'm being led.
There is, let me tell you, I think the greatest gift of all is the ability to give. And, you know, I pass young people on the street, especially young men, and this is what I give to them. If they have their pants and things hanging down and so forth and so on, and I'll look at them and I'll say, good afternoon, gentlemen. And trust me, you ought to see how they straighten themselves up to somebody call them a gentleman. You know, to me, that's an act of giving. It makes them feel like they are worthy and they are somebody. And that's how you give to people, make them feel worthwhile. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of gift I love to give.
Brandon, are you still with us?
Yes.
Yeah, what are your take on giving, sir?
I think it's very important. It's a part of us. It's a part of who God made us. And it's a part of society. And those who don't give, they're missing out on a lot. They're missing out on a lot.
All right. Brother Satari, what's your take on giving?
Yes, sir. I think back to what initially got me involved in doing the things that I do. I was in the United States military, and I had to go all the way to Vietnam to find out I was black. What happened was these brothers gave me two books to read, Autobiography of Malcolm X and Die Nigga Die by H. Rap Brown. And those two books is what changed my life around and began to have me have a certain kind of outlook. Still reflect on both of those books today. Those books led to me getting involved in the Black Liberation Movement, which is at the heart and soul of everything that I do. I'm Afrocentric to the core. Just finished watching Hidden Colors 2, 3, and 4. My wife and my sister-in-law. And I'm telling everybody that's listening, Hidden Colors is what you really, really need to watch. I think Tariq Nasheed does a great job with all of the people that he brought on there to help narrate through the different aspects of the topics that he introduced on Hidden Colors. You know, and one of my favorite people he had on there was KRS-One, Knowledge Rules Supreme. And so, you know, you want to know about rap? I mean, KRS-One talks about how, you know, was this brother named Kool Herc that used to do these concerts. But really weren't concerts. They were like big old house parties. And eventually the party got too big for his house, so he started doing them in the park. And he said when hip-hop first came out, it was like their whole thing was that they didn't want to sell it. And hip-hop, as we know, went on to become a multi-billion-dollar industry. And so, you know, that's a very powerful thing. He said the Grandmaster Flash would not take any money for what he did because he was the one that really learned how to put these mixes together to mix the music and the beats and then be able to mark the beat on the vinyl records with a crayon. And that was how he could go back and pull up the beat. And he said, but what happened was when the record that came, the people that went to the studio and came out with Hippity 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 Hop, don't let the beat stop till you rock. You know, that particular group, they was the ones that helped with commercializing hip hop, because before then it was just something that they did in the community. And so the thing is, you know, it's just like what we're doing right now with the different events that we're doing. It's something that we're doing in the community, and that ultimately, you know, it's going to catch on. It's going to catch on, and when it does, it's going to be like wildfire. You know, people are going to be like, man, did you go to such and such event? Wow, they had so-and-so there. They had such and such there. And so, you know, but it all stemmed back. My journey all stemmed back from two books, Autobiography of Malcolm X and Die Nigga Die by H. Rap Brown. And then, you know, currently just finishing, like I said, watching Hidden Colors 2, 3, and 4. Got to get 5 and got to get 1 in terms of Hidden Colors 1 and then Hidden Colors 5. And, you know, be able to complete that knowledge and understanding of those DVDs, because there's just a lot of information and a lot of knowledge in there. And never forget, Neely Fuller said, if you don't understand white supremacy and racism, everything else will only confuse you. And I'll close with that note.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I've seen the series Hidden Colors. It was a powerful documentary, and I encourage everybody to check it out. And getting back to this thing of sharing and giving information, you know, I'm going to go back to where I always started, is the National Black Unity News, because, like I tell people, you know, I have no shame in my game. Like I say, it's by divine inspiration that it took place. And like I said, because we, you know, Bill suggested that we do a newspaper. I went to God, and then everything else. One thing led to another. That's why I say, when you're on a journey in life, and you start taking that journey, you take those steps in the journey, everything will be added to you. But you got to take those first steps. You got to take action. Faith without works is dead. And so I'm encouraging to those who are listening to us today on these airways that, again, there's always hope no matter what your age bracket is, no matter what your denomination is, or what your thought, your education or anything is. Because God put gifts in each and every one of us, every one of us. And we have to learn to nurture those gifts, because your gifts will make a way for you. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, again, I thank each and every one of you. I only have a few minutes left, and I want to encourage the listening audience to come out June the 8th from 1 to 3 at Nala's Kitchen, 5722 York Road. It's going to be an event hosted by the National Black Unity News, featuring the authors and the editors of the National Black Unity News. And that's the gift that's keep on giving, ladies and gentlemen, because the authors and the editors in the National Black Unity News are giving you powerful information that, like I say, that can enhance your quality of life. And they're committed to bringing you information in their area of expertise. And so I encourage you to get a copy of the National Black Unity News. You can go online at www.thenationalblackunitynews.com, or you can call 443-455-2373. We only have a few minutes left, so we're going to go around to each person, and you can share some parting words and give out your information so people know how to get your books or how to contact you. Starting with you, Bill Gooden.
Well, you know, I'm going to just say this to everybody. You know, just come June 8th to Nyla's Kitchen from 1 to 3, and, you know, you get a chance to meet myself as well as other authors, and you'll be able to get all our information. So, you know, I just want to keep giving like that and encourage you to come, because if you come, you're going to be giving also. So, again, that's my parting words.
All right. Dr. Watice.
I'm going to piggyback on what Bill said because I got another call coming through. My daughters are trying to reach me. So piggyback on what Bill said. See me at on the 8th, and you'll have all the information that you need. God bless you guys. Got to go. Love you.
All right. Take care. Take
care. All
right. Burn the street up.
Yes, sir. Come June 8th, like you said before, as part of giving, let's build our community up as a community, as a village, as a tribe. And let's bring our greatness back.
Fantastic. Brother Satow.
Yes, sir. Again, as everybody else is saying, make sure you come out on June the 8th so that you can meet the authors and everybody that will be there. I won't be there, but my wife will be there. I have a previous engagement that I was already committed to before we had booked that date. And so I'll be where I'll have to be at. But she'll be there representing Movements Unlimited and all the information I shared about nonprofit fundraising. You'll be able to get that information from her. Make sure if you need more information about the Ultimate Fundraiser to give me a call at 252-458-3712. It's time to fund your cause. Time to fund your cause. All right. Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Okay. With that being said, Lady, I guess we're going to call it a wrap. And I thank you all again for such a great opportunity. It's always a blessing to be on these airways and to share information with listening audience. It's always a pleasure to be on the airway with the guests that assist us to doing what we do. And with that being said, I'm gonna say, I would bid you a good night. And remember, help us to help you so that we can help ourselves. Thank you, Brother Satavi. Back to you, sir.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to close out with our theme song called It's My Time, or, you know, It's Our Time. All right, here we go.